Hey guys, Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour is starting back up in February. February 13th, we kick back off in Orlando, but we're coming to Tampa, Buffalo, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Dallas, Houston, Oklahoma City. The list goes on and on. Go to dansoder.com and see all announced dates. All dates are up and the tickets are on sale. Go buy tickets right now. I really appreciate it. And I hope you're doing okay.
Too short usually for
that. How tall are you?
5'1".
5'1"?
Maybe.
What was that the, is that maybe. Where? Maybe.
It started at 5'1.5", so maybe 5.5.
Was that ever a moment where you're like, did you hated being short?
No, okay. I prefer it.
Because you fit everywhere.
You should watch me see Saquon Barkley through an airport.
Yeah.
It's amazeballs. Tall people do not see me.
Yeah.
I'm almost like a child. Sometimes it's irritating.
The level
like,
you're, the
yeah,
level
but like
you're
if I'm
at?
Standing in line to get on the plane, and it's always dudes. I hate to say it, but women wouldn't do it.
Sure.
It's just, well, men are a lot taller. Anyway, they'll just walk right by me, and I don't think they're being rude. I do not think they saw me. I'm just like,
you know what?
I'm there. Sometimes I'll yell if Joan's traveling with me. I'm like, I'm a fucking person. Like, God damn,
dude,
you
oh
guys.
My God, that little girl got so
yeah,
upset.
Yeah. Where's her parents?
Yeah. Oh my God. This. I wonder if she emancipated from her family.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a thing where you don't realize. It's the Clark Kent argument. Everyone was always like Clark Kent. That's so stupid. You
right.
put on glasses, they're gonna know it's Superman. And then you see and you go,
nah.
It actually works way better than you
would think. Yeah.
I remember one time after a show at Helium in Philadelphia. Me and my buddy that was with me on the show went to go get food at a restaurant that was still open. It was like the Thursday night show, so the restaurants were still open. And we walk in, and I had glasses at the time. It was before I got LASIK. So I had my glasses on after the show because I don't wear them on stage. And I had my glasses on, and this couple from the show was talking to my friend, and they were like, you were great.
They're
like, what a show.
It.
And you know the comic thing where they tell your feature you're great, and then you go, well, I hate myself.
Right. You were kind of good, too.
Yeah. But then they were like, where's the guy that was... I was standing next to him.
Right
and they're
there.
Like, where's the guy that was the headliner? And I was like, that was me. And they're like, oh! And you're like, so I guess glasses do fool people.
They can, I think, alter yourself enough that people don't know.
Yeah. Also, it is like the hiding in plain sight thing where it's like... Like you said, people don't even notice you.
No, and if I have my glasses on, if somebody thinks it's me, they'll be like, hey, I think it... I'm like, yeah, all right, you got me.
You
it's
got
like
me.
Tag. It's laser tag out in the general public. And I'm like, you got me. Your laser's straight. You're right.
But have you ever noticed in the airport the 3 seconds of thought someone puts in when they look at you and they go...
Well, if I make eye contact, it's over now. They're coming.
If
They're
I,
coming for the picture.
If I make eye contact in the airport, I'll go at the confirmation. But sometimes you'll notice it and you go, I have about 3 seconds to get out of here.
Yeah, I'll tell her. I'm like, there's a guy on the right. He's staring. And it's not like, and then where? Oh, at my fucking biker bar by my house. I go, there's a dude behind you doing really weird shit. He was like kind of dancing.
Okay.
But he looked like Tim McGraw. He was really handsome.
Right.
Very handsome. Skull cap on, the whole thing. But it's a biker bar. And then I didn't think he was doing it to me, but it was in... The direction of me.
Well, he was like sexy.
Like trying
dance.
To get my attention. Like,
oh, really?
Goofy.
Hey, ladies.
And, you know, I kind of went like that. Like, I don't know what's going on here. But then he came over. He's like, I'm just going to say it. I'm the owner. My name's Craig. And he owned the biker bar. I was like, I've met another man that claimed he owned this bar like
That's,
6 months ago.
As someone that is very gullible, people can always get me with that.
I own the bar.
Where they go, I do this, and I go, well, that's who you are. You claimed it first in my brain.
Right, I believe you. Why would anyone lie about it? It's a shithole. I mean, it is the shittiest bar. It's the most fun, but it's not.
That's the kind of bar that makes me miss drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a shitty, good shitty bar.
I would hate to quit drinking because all my places are kind of drinky centric. My lake bar, well, the lake bar you could go to and still have fun and not drink.
Yeah, but you go.
But
there is a feeling of like style bars stylistically that draw me in.
Me too, and they're
like
guys.
A place that looks like your eyes have to focus when you walk in from outside.
Right.
That's the kind of bar that I want to drink
in. I went in Post Malone's new one on Broadway, and it's the thing I love the most. It is nighttime in there.
Yeah.
I don't care what time of day it is. It is fucking 9 o'clock at night, and boom, it's pitch black, and the bands are great.
I need casino-like loss of day.
Yes.
I need to walk
Otherwise, I feel half-assed guilty. I'm like, well, I could be taking a walk. I could be
Yeah, but the best is when you're drinking during the day and then you go outside and you feel that like I've got a secret and no one knows.
Larry Miller used to do a joke that it's God's flashlight.
Yeah, that's funny.
For the drunk.
It's really funny. You're like,
you're like the sun, you're like, oh no, no, no.
Something about being day drunk always to me felt like a fun secret. Just like walking around.
It's like you got away with it. And then a 3 o'clock nap. And then you wake up and it's like nothing even happened.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I did on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. That's great.
With my cousins. Yeah. We went downtown, Broadway, day drinking. They're from St. Louis. So they wanted it. They want to go. Everybody that comes to Nashville wants to go. And I don't mind going to Broadway in the day. I will not go at night. Maybe a Monday or a Tuesday. It's just too crowded. It's too many. If I see anybody under 40, I'm like, I'm out.
That's not fun.
It's time to go home.
Drinking
I gotta go home now because they're here. They're coming. This is a promissory note that there are thousands more on their way.
And
I'm out.
Their war cry is like a woo.
Yeah.
People over 40 don't woo when they drink.
Especially the bachelorette parties. And there's 9 million of them in Nashville. Woo, they don't even know what they're wooing about.
That's like... It always made me laugh in movies where they're like, there's a storm coming. And that's how you know. And they go like, woo! And you go, I need y'all to finish your drink and get the hell out of here.
And then in Nashville, they're encouraging it from stage, too. Because it's the woohoo country people. Woohoo! So it just doesn't stop.
How long have you been in Nashville for?
Like 11 years. Like, I went before it became a thing.
Yeah.
But I only went because little Dorf, Zany, Dorf, Brian, was like, I was like, I got to get out of LA. I never did like it.
Sure.
It's not my thing. But I stayed for work. And then I was like, you know, I don't need to be here anymore. Like, all the late night shows were either moving here or, and that's all. I don't want to be in a sitcom. I don't want to be in a movie.
You just want to do stand up.
Yeah, I don't want to do any of that. Like, they offered me some sitcom thing on something. And I go, just politely tell them I'm busy or whatever. However, it doesn't make you look like shit. Because the agency looks like shit.
They're the ones that are like, I said that you already committed.
And so they. It was to go audition for it. Then they came back and they said, well, you can skip that part. Just go straight to the producers. I go, no, I meant I don't want to be in it. I didn't do that as a bargaining chip to raise the ante.
They
just offered it to me. I'm like, I still don't want to be in a sitcom. Nothing's changed from 2 days ago till now. I don't want to be in a sitcom. I'm not an actor. I don't have the patience.
Yeah. And you're like, and I don't want to do this game.
I hate it. I hate it. I went one time I went to Lewis Black's, like one of my oldest friends, and he was going to be on the Big Bang Theory as like some nutty professor.
Sure.
And he goes, go with me. I go, Lou, I don't. He, please, please. He goes, I'll buy you 2 bottles of wine. I go, all right, if you're going to buy good ones, I'll go. And his assistant at the time, Shannon, we were there from 4 to 11.
Yeah.
He was in a scene no longer than 5 minutes. At the very end of the episode, we drank a bottle of wine. I memorized his lines with him. I memorized the whole script. I'm like, do you love this?
Yeah,
what
there's
are you
people
making?
That do. You know, I had
he
to
does.
Go.
He loves it.
I had to go through that to realize that I wasn't a fan of it.
Cut out of
it. It's just that it really is like you're in a room or a trailer and then they come to you and they go, hey, we got to push this back 6 hours. Yeah. So we don't need you till about 8 p.m. And you go, then why was I here at 9 a.m.? Because I'm not doing anything.
Right. Lewis, you're in the last scene. That's in the script. Why are we here at 4? We went in 8 in the commissary deal. We wandered around. We smoked cigarettes. I'm like, I'm drinking.
Yeah.
So me and Shay drank the white wine. And we're like, I don't got to do anything except run lines with you. But you already know them. I just, that whole world, I'm like... I'm friends with Leanne.
Sure.
And she loves...
She's doing great, right?
She's
I'm
doing awesome.
Up.
And I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I'm very jealous she has a beagle that I want to steal. But but she always dreamt of having a sitcom.
Yeah.
Like if you were like when I was a kid and watched, I don't know, the Roseanne sitcom, I didn't think, oh, I would like to do that.
Sure.
No. But would she be on the Tonight Show and just do 5 minutes and leave? I'm like, that'd be good. How
that'd
do
be
I
fun.
Get Yeah, just 5 minutes and I'm out. And you call me when you're ready, and I'm only there an hour and a half, tops.
Do you think it's a control thing? Because I think with stand-ups, like, we like to control the entire joke.
Well, I am not a control freak. It's when I'm with people who seemingly have zero control, then I get irritated where I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Lighting Man.
Yeah.
Why did this take 8 times?
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Sound Lady, whatever. Like, I don't understand the delays, and maybe it's just because I don't know enough about it, but I become extremely impatient. Because I'm like, how long did it take to make fucking Braveheart?
Yeah.
This is one episode of The Big Bang Theory, and we have been here for 7 hours.
Yeah. It,
7 hours of my life.
I always, when I saw all that time, I was more impressed with stars of shows because I played a small part like Lewis did. So I was around once in a while. I was amazed when I'd see these guys like Paul Giamatti or Damian Lewis with a binder of their scripts, and they're going through monologues, learning the next episode while filming the current episode. And you're like, how does your brain work like that?
I don't know. Lewis's can work like that. But then also, if you go on a movie set, like I used to think, no offense, but I'm not sure Keanu Reeves is like the smartest guy in the room. I do love his acting.
I think his emotional intelligence is very high.
Yeah, but like,
I don't know if,
SATs?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I don't know if I want him on my Quiz Bowl team.
But I'm like, how does he memorize all those lines? But then you go on a movie set, you really only need to know like 5 that day.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to get to.
Yeah,
maybe one big scene.
And they say that. They go, we're going to film like 2 pages.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So even I could handle maybe that.
But you
I don't want to. I want none of it. No. Yeah.
Well, how old were you when you started doing stand-up?
Like 23.
Okay.
So, and I had jobs. Like, I still bartended. I always bartended until, like, quit. But I had a day job, and I didn't. It was fine.
And you started at St. Louis?
Yeah. So I got lucky because the Funny Bones headquarters was there at the time.
Yeah.
So if you...
That's, like, the classic Funny Bone.
Yeah.
It's, like, the original.
The original. Yeah. Original. There were two in St. Louis, but I was by the one that was the original, the good one, Westport.
And, I mean, the amount of people that club has put into the world stand-up-wise...
It's a lot.
It's so overlooked. Boston, Philly, all these cities get credit. Yep. But St. Louis is like, I talked about this with Chad Daniels. It's like crazy how many people
There's
came out of St. Louis.
A lot of black people.
Yeah.
And everybody overlooks all that. Cedric, Lavelle, nobody knows it. But
I didn't know Lavelle Crawford was St. Louis.
Yeah, I think we're 90% sure we swam together as kids in the public pool.
That's crazy.
Like, Lavelle was like, there's no way you would forget about me. I was the fattest child in the whole pool. And I'm like, Lavelle, not saying nothing for nothing, but there were a lot of fat black kids. A lot of fat white kids, too. Yeah. But
just
as far as
kids.
which fat kid am I talking about?
It's America.
He's like, oh, come on, I got a pinhead. I'm unforgettable.
The way I'm breathing would hurt me breathing in the pool.
It was like Ferguson, that area. That bananas. That's where we grew up. So there, him said, nobody knows it, but Rerun from that old sitcom.
Really?
Yeah, because he used to come over to open mic nights. I'm like, oh,
that's Rerun.
God. I'm like, fuck, is that Rerun? Why is he here? And they're like,
why the fuck is Rerun here?
I'm like, wow, Red Fox?
Yeah.
Like, there's a crazy amount.
For some reason, I thought Red Fox was...
Nope.
He's St. Louis.
Yep. They still, I'm so proud of the young people because when they still graffiti Red Fox stuff.
That's great.
And I'm like, that's awesome that I would not think a 20-something would have any idea who that was.
Joe List always used to tell me this bar story, and I don't know how true it is, but it makes me laugh so hard about Red Fox doing a gig in Vegas. And he comes out, and it's the Sanford and Sons theme, like the... And he comes out, and the crowd's like half full, and he goes, fuck this shit, and just walks off, and the band just plays it right. That always made me laugh of walking up, grabbing a microphone, and going, fuck this shit. Yeah, St. Louis.
I saw a guy at open mic night. This was the funniest thing. It was his first time ever. And I was with my sister, who was such a harsh judge. But she was hanging out with me and Lou and Ron. And we go to this open mic night. She's like, these people are terrible. Yeah. I mean, who's going to tell them? Is somebody going to tell them, or are you just going to let them come back every week and act like an idiot? And I said, you know, Kate, you're a little judgmental because you're hanging out with people that have done this for 20 years. It's not really fair. This one guy comes out, takes a look around. He goes, nope. And he left.
That's great.
I'm like, that was
that might
the
be the greatest
awesome.
Open mic set.
Yeah, I would give him the night's grand prize of $25. You win, dude. Now, at least give him $25 for showing up.
And he
just saw the crowd and went, I can't do this.
I always liked when people just straight up disrespect, like didn't care in a way that looked freeing.
Yeah, I don't have that.
I started in me neither. That's why I was like so in awe of that. I wanted to do great every open mic. Time to talk to you about Delete Me. Listen, we're in the age where everybody can find out anything about you so quickly. use delete me. If you feel like you got too much information out there, and you know, some of these reads you go, does Dan even use this? I've been using delete me since 2019. What they are is they're a company that helps you get your information offline. Now, they can't make sure you're like anonymous online, but what they can do is some of your information has already been sold. When you buy something online and you give it, sometimes those companies don't really care about you and they just sell their information to other people who then publish it online. But you go to a place like Delete Me and they find all these places and they pull your info off. I've been using them since 2019. Yeah, some of my stuff's still out there, but most of it is either old numbers or old addresses that I don't even use. They take your current stuff off and it's great. It's easier than ever to find personal information about people online. So when you get someone like Delete Me, they help. They're just kind of like the tough guy in the neighborhood that's going to stop you from getting bullied. More and more online partisans and nefarious actors are going to find data and use it to, you know, target you or political rival. You get what's going on. It's a mess out there. But with Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. The New York Times Wirecutter named Delete Me their top pick for data removal service. See? And I knew it. And then they were like, hey, we want to sponsor your podcast. And you're like, brother, I've already been using you. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now, a special discount for our listeners. You get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go join deleteme.com/soder and use the promo code soder at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to join, to go to joindeleteme.com/soder. One more time, go to joindeleteme.com/soder and use and enter the code soder at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/soder, code soder. Get that stuff offline. Back into the show. Hey guys, if you need a money app, like to give money or to get paid for stuff, try looking at Cash App. Cash App is one of those apps where you go, what is this thing? And then you download it and you go, these guys got pretty good security. And it's a way to pay for stuff online and to get pay online. Like even if your friends owe you some money, you're like, give me your Cash App. Myrtle's on Cash App. That's why she's up in my face right now. She's like, you didn't Cash App me that money I let you borrow. And you go, be cool, Myrtle. But I'm just saying, if you need a money app, download Cash App today. Cash App is a financial services platform. It's not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App Bank partners. Prepaid debit cards are issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, see terms and conditions. Cash App just released a new status program for the way people actually spend called Cash App Green. It unlocks new ways for you to pay, get rewarded, and easily grow or manage your money on your terms. Now when you spend at least $500 a month with a Cash App card or Cash App Pay, you earn green status, which unlocks benefits like up to $200 of free overdraft coverage, higher borrow limits, and custom personalized cash back offers every Friday at places you love to shop. So turn everyday spending into status with Cash App Green. Download Cash App today or visit cash.app/new to learn more about this and other great features launching now. So for a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they just use the code CASHAPP10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. You get 2 weeks to send $5 to a friend, then you get $10. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial service platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App Bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, Cash App Green, overdraft coverage, borrow, cashback offers, and promotions provided by Cash App, a Block Incorporated brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosure. There was this little Mexican dude, because I started in Tucson, and he was just...
Well, that's a weird place to start.
Yeah, not a good place to start.
No.
It's like really starting in the in the middle of nowhere.
Don't even go there until you do big theaters.
You're telling me, because I would watch the headliners that would come through the club, and it was all people that, if they were good... had horrible addictions.
There's problems.
Yeah, there's problems. Right. If they're good, you go, what's this guy's problem? Why is he here?
Right.
He'd be in Phoenix if he was doing all right.
Right, right.
But this at our open mic, there was just this Mexican dude from the south side of Tucson, and he would just smoke these, like, giant cigar-sized joints. You know, not even a blunt. It would be joint paper. And he would get so high, and he'd just go up on stage. He's just a little Mexican dude, and he'd go, why people? And he'd start laughing. He'd go, you guys are crazy. You like spit all the time, and he would make himself laugh in a way that it was the hardest I've ever laughed at an open mic. He got me because I was like,
I get it.
What do we do? We do spit. And he was like, you guys be spitting all the time. And I was like, this guy's right. And I was just in the back dying. I was also probably drunk, but I was like, this is so funny. Because I just like the idea of someone showing up and watching us with our theater kid energy, being like, it has to be a wonderful performance. And him being like, shut the fuck up. I'm a roofer. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes... Well, I don't know if he does it anymore. Felipe.
He's great.
He was another one that I felt like, I'm not really sure he cares in a good way.
I followed him recently at the Comedy Store, and he had such a set that I felt like I was giving a book report after him.
Oh.
Because he's so loose, and he's like, what this? What does this lady do? And then I'm up there, and I'm like, these are the jokes that I have written, and they go like this. And I just felt like the audience was
I have segues from one to two to three, so you can follow along.
I might as well have gone on stage and gone, and one, two, three.
One, two, three. A lot of the Denver comics, I feel like, really... And it wasn't structured, because people were like Rick Kearns. I loved Rick Kearns. Yeah. But Rick didn't... clearly doesn't give a shit. No. I mean, but he knows he's funny. He's very funny. And he would just go up there and start, and we're not supposed to smoke in here anymore. He'd light a cigarette on stage. I'm like, wow, he doesn't even care like if the owner's mad at him. But I am a rule follower.
Totally.
Catholic school forever.
I was looking up about you. You went to Osage?
I went to school for 2.5 years in the Lake of the Ozarks. Osage, yes. And then we moved back to St. Louis.
But was that the Osage? Because I just read the book, Killers of the Flower Moon. Was that part of the Osage?
Nation, yes. The Osage Indians.
The tribe went to.
Yes, but by the time I got there, there were no more tribes. I don't know where they went.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that's what freaked me out. Like the first time I went to Colorado, I said to Rick Kearns, I go, that's a really big Mexican dude. He goes, Kathleen, that's not a Mexican. Yeah. I'm like, really? He goes, no, it's an Indian. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
We were told in the Midwest they all died.
No.
I'm not even joking. Because we didn't have any reservations. We didn't have any tribes left. Everybody went boom to Oklahoma. And then I thought they fizzled out.
No.
This is not like a joke. I'm not trying to be funny. This is what we were taught.
They're very alive.
I've learned more about Indians doing casinos.
Yeah, well, they own them.
Tribes. I know.
They'll let you know.
Everybody that picks me up is part of the tribe. I learn all about the tribe. I know about the Mohicans. I know from all the way to Potawatomis and Wisconsin.
What's interesting is they have very strict rules about drinking. That's like one of the things.
Depends on the tribe.
I used to work, when I started in Tucson, I'd work the Sholo Casino, the Honda Casino in Sholo, Arizona, which is Apache reservation. Oh. And you go up there and they go, you don't drink on stage. You don't drink before you go on stage. You only drink after, which at first I was like, look at these Native Americans fighting back. And then you go, no, it's comics that blew that.
Yeah,
more of a performer than a...
We fucked that up. Yeah, that wasn't... That's on us. That wasn't on American history.
That wasn't fire water. Right, that was the white man being fucking blacked out during his... But it...
I remember I did one with Roseanne in Minnesota. This was a long time ago, like 20 years ago. And she kept going, hey, little one, you want any vodka? I'm like, nah, I'm more of a beer wine person, but I couldn't understand why she kept offering me vodka. Well, then the show was over and I go out to what appears to be a bar.
Sure.
It was trickery. I go up and I'm like, hey, can I get a Bud Light? And they're like, we don't have any alcohol. I'm like, what is, and then I started looking closer. They were all non-alcoholic beers or tea.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, oh, you know, okay. If you're not going to have the drinks, that's one thing. But to put a fake trick bar here, I got so excited. And then I'm like, where's the closest beer? They're like, off the reservation. I'm like, how big is the reservation? 300 miles, like, in circumference. I'm like, that was the only time in my life.
They go, why do you think we're on the reservation?
Maybe I am an alcoholic. Yeah. It's like, my foot started twitching when I heard 300 miles. I'm like, I'm going back to find Roseanne, and I'm going to learn to like vodka.
But that's tonight. What it is. Like,
tonight's the first night.
There's a Denver comic. I love him. Still friends with him. Troy Baxley.
Yes, I know Troy.
Yeah. I used to open for Troy.
Oh, my.
And so when I would open for him, he'd go, I was drinking. We'd drink together. Oh, and he'd go.
I could only drink with Troy to a certain tipping point.
I watched him put away a bottle of whiskey one day on an empty stomach. And I was like, I think you're a machine. But Troy and I, before that casino that I was telling you about, he went, you got to drink in the room before you go down. And I was like, what do you mean, drink in the room?
Tailgate
like,
by yourself.
And then he's like, that's what he called it. He goes, do you want to tailgate in the room with me? And I go, why are we tailgating? We're going down to a show. There's a bar and shit. And then we went down there and they're like, no drinking before. No, and you're like,
I feel like a lot of them, though, didn't have liquor licenses. And I feel like a lot of them have then since updated that. Like that one in Minnesota now that didn't have, they do.
They do.
Yeah.
And that's probably what it is.
I think they weren't because they were bingo halls. A lot of them were bingo halls to start with. And then they graduated to...
like slots.
You could have slots, but they are what you say you can't have table games because that's a game of skill. I'm like, well, then you have not seen me play blackjack. There is zero skill involved. If anything, it's anti-skill. Yeah. Like, I literally cannot add. So then the table games later, and now I feel like they got... I mean, if you go to, like, Talking Stick, it's Scottsdale. You don't even know you're not in Vegas. I mean...
Well, I remember like Gila River in Phoenix, you would go and there was like limited table games. There was like stuff. It's always weird when they go like, you could play up to $5. And you're right. Then you come back 10 years later and they're like,
they don't care.
We got our licenses.
I think it was just a process. Like in the Midwest, we had to start out. This is all the Catholics trying to trick the Baptists.
Sure.
And we get some of the Jews on our side.
Yeah.
We can wrangle up some Jewish people for teammates to go, come on, we're not living like this, right?
Come on, we can't cut off booze on a Sunday. Right, what's this blue law shit?
Blue law. Why don't we have a lottery?
Did you guys have it in Missouri, blue laws?
Oh, yeah, we had to go to Illinois. And which is right across the river. Right, so it's 5 minutes from where I live. But
there's a lot of people that don't know what blue laws are. So blue laws were created, for those of you that don't know, during, I believe, when we were the 13 colonies, and it was like a Puritan thing.
I didn't even know that.
I got to look more into it, but the blue laws are how I grew up understanding them in Colorado. No booze on Sunday.
For sale.
For sale.
No.
You can't sell booze in a grocery store.
Right.
You cannot sell it. It has to be specifically in a liquor store from this time to this time.
Yes.
And not on Sundays.
Right.
Not on the Lord's Day. I moved to Arizona for college. They're selling Jack Daniels in the grocery store at Fry's. You can just pick up a Jack Daniels.
Yeah, that's St. Louis.
And I was like, well, let's fucking go. Because we had 3-2 beer in the grocery store.
Gross.
I know.
Why bother? Have you?
But when you're 17 and you want to drink beer, you'll drink 20 of them to feel a buzz.
Well, how about when you go to like Seattle and there's a state-sponsored liquor store? I'm like, what kind of communist bullshit is this? Why would you ever have a sale if it's the state selling it?
Yeah. Well,
so my Bud Light or my Miller Light's never going to be on sale. No. And it's a separate trip. I'm like, look, in St. Louis, I can go into the grocery store and get whiskey, beer, wine. I was shocked that there's states with these. South Carolina still has that baby bottle.
That's crazy.
In the bars.
They just give you a little airplane
bottle? Yeah, and they warn you. They're like, look, this is a shot and a half. So for every 2 drinks you drank, you really drank 3. But I'm like, who is it? Strom Thurmond? Who's in charge of this shit that's still getting a kickback from the tiny bottle?
Well, I own my tiny bottling company, that's why I've been getting my money since the 1896 when I was born.
Somebody in Denver used to take 2 on stage. He goes, I like to walk down the middle of the plane and go, I'm a giant. I'm a giant. Yeah. It's so stupid. It's funny.
There's nothing more alcoholic than someone side-sipping a tiny bottle. I'm going like, and then you're like, wow, you're hiding that.
Wow.
You got a real fucking problem.
No one's going to judge that. You could shoot 10 of those and I'd be like, you good? Yeah. You ready?
And it always blew my mind, though, when I moved to Arizona that I could buy just like beer at like just the Texaco.
Gas station.
Yeah.
Right.
I just go in and get a 12-pack because I was so used to Colorado. I think one of the first times with my fake ID, I bought a 12-pack. I remember what it was. It was Milwaukee's Best.
Oh, God.
And I drank an 18-pack in my dorm room. Watching football on a Saturday, thinking, oh, it's like 3-2 beer. I bought it at a gas station, and blacked out.
Wow.
Got caught. My RA opened the door, and I was in a bean bag, and there was just beer cans. My roommate in college was like, there's beer cans all over the dorm room. And I was like, well, yeah, I was getting drunk watching college football. And I had one bean bag that the Milwaukee's Best 18-pack was on, and I was on the other one, and I just kept taking them, drinking them, and then putting them around me. And I remember the guy opened the door and was like, come on, man. My RA was, because the door was open and he was like asking about a hallway thing. He's like,
He can't ignore that.
He's like, I got to write you up. Right. He goes, try to hide it. And I'm like, write me up if you want.
Up till like when I moved to Nashville, this probably stopped 5 years ago. They still had a law on Sundays. I could buy wine. I did a big joke. I don't even remember the joke. I could buy wine No, I could buy beer, but not wine. And then I went into this whole thing about Jesus really liked wine, so I don't understand why. If we're going to pick an alcohol to sell on Sunday in his honor, if this is a Christian thing or a Baptist thing, it's always the Baptist.
Baptists want to take away all the fun.
So this is what we did in Missouri.
Catholics just want to go
we
be upset
make
about
the
it.
Fun. We want to make the fun and
then
you can bitch
feel
about
bad
it.
About it.
Yeah, that's fine. We had to start out with riverboat gambling. This is how we tricked the Baptists.
Okay.
We told them, you're going to get on a boat. So it's really going to be like a dinner cruise. And it's 3 hours, and there's a maximum amount you can lose. And you got a card. So the way the card worked, you could maybe, like, and don't think I haven't done it, scrounge around to see if anybody left their cards in machines, like if you're out of money.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if you lose your $500 max in the first hour of the cruise on the Mississippi, the beautiful Mississippi filled with bodies and logs, you are no longer in a casino. You're on a $500 boat ride in the dark.
Yeah.
And you can't get off. Till it goes back. So then finally we were like, we tricked, it's entry level things. You got to entry level them. We got that going. Then we were like, the boat's broke. Totally bullshitting.
Yeah.
Now the boat doesn't have to move. So, and the Baptist kind of didn't notice. And then we're like, well, define a river.
Yeah.
And people just and started like making ponds and shit. And then there's a Harrah's. I'm like, there was no river there. Yeah. Wait, are we just done with that?
The flooded parking lot led to the Harrah's.
Yeah, we just totally bypassed all their bullshit. It took like 5 years.
Well, that's how
but
it
now
was.
There's just full-blown casinos in St. Louis.
But like, that's how they were with
Kansas
casinos.
City, too.
Because you remember, I mean, I remember when casinos first started coming to the United States outside of Vegas and Reno and shit, and they were going, it's for the Native Americans. They did like that thing.
See,
they go,
we didn't even have that.
In Colorado.
Yeah.
Because Colorado, it's inescapable that you're on Native land.
Right.
You've, like, literally growing up there, I would find arrowheads playing. Like, we'd be out in a field, and you'd be like, you would lose your shit. Because you'd be like, I got an arrow. Because you would find like a real one.
Yeah, I found
not like
real
a
ones.
Bullshit one.
No, I found plenty of real ones in the woods in Missouri by the creek beds. They're always by the creek beds.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're always
why.
Washed up. Yeah. Or in ours, it was a field where you could tell they were hunting. I lived like next to where I grew up in I grew up in Aurora. It was still undeveloped. So you would like go out. And what we would do is we'd go look for bugs under rocks. That was like we're like an 8-year-old boy.
Could be a snake there too.
There weren't a lot of rattlers. That's why we were allowed to go. The snakes were all garden or they weren't poisonous.
Bad. Oh, okay.
Because that's why people from Colorado, there's like guys that you could probably trace them back to fur trappers in the 15th century, like their family. They just know the land. And they're like, there's no rattlers over there. You can go play. So we would like go.
Bad areas.
Yeah. But we'd go and we'd just lift up rocks and see the bugs and shit and then like throw the rock. You just do dumb little boy shit, but you would find
a real one,
you would lose it, keep it in your fight about it and be like, I saw it first. But then you grow up and you start learning history and you go, oh
yeah.
I don't think it was
them.
I don't think it was Mission Viejo the whole time. Turns out that was built in the 70s. Right. But you go, fuck, I think this is. But then I remember in Colorado, they were like, with Black Hawk and a couple other places, they're like, hey, we're giving casinos, but it's to the Native Americans. So don't get any ideas. This is just so we can give them some money back. A lot of money back, and everyone, you know. At that time, it wasn't so pinged left or right, so everyone went. Even the conservatives were like, "Oh, that is a nice thing. We should do that." And then
didn't have any Indians to give it to, so we had to make up excuses.
Okay, but that's what's funny is you watch the excuses they make because you go, "It's the equivalent of a guy trying to get laid."
Ours was tax money for education.
Okay, there it is. That's what they did with legal weed in Colorado,
and I'm not sure they did that.
I just drove through Colorado. The whole thing of their legal weed was 25% of it was supposed to go to roads and schools.
No.
Eastern Colorado's roads suck ass. So I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I don't know that we ever delivered any cash from the lottery or the casinos. Or I'm like, who are we kidding? This is Harrah's. This is a Vegas. Like, these aren't mom and pop where somebody's going to go, hey, you guys owe us, $200,000 for last year. No. But it works just to get it going.
It really is the.
Did you see, by the way, this made me. Do you know this? This is gambling. This guy, Dave Ramsey, the money guy out of Nashville.
I saw that clip.
The young man, I'm like, wait a second. He's very anti DraftKings. He's anti FanDuel.
So am I.
Really?
Very.
I love it.
I think it's going to be worse to Americans than the opioid crisis.
Really?
I think it's going to ruin an entire generation.
I'm going to teach people how to build a better parlay. Why is everybody losing?
I'm going to tell you right now, Kathleen, you are a different ilk. What your idea of gambling is not what this is. In
what
the
are
same
they doing?
Way that I grew up smoking weed with sticks and seeds that was like actual weed, whatever this is now is a psychotic agent. It's like they're making it too powerful. Weed's gotten away from itself.
Do you think it's because of the visual? You mean like the algorithms that just keep...
I think right now, the way you grew up gambling and the way your family grew up gambling or anybody you knew gambled.
But I gamble on my phone with great things and all that.
Because I think you're a different generation. I think you grew up remembering the fear of a loan shark.
Okay.
The fear of a bookie. The fear of, if I don't pay this, something dangerous is going to happen to me. That
is not
in their head.
Well, what do they just go? What do they think is going to happen? They just go off their phone?
It's a video game. It's like them playing solitaire. It's like them doing anything, but they don't realize it's addictive and you're going to lose your fucking house. You're going to lose your bank account. You're going to lose.
I don't know one person. Like all of the
air, I can tell you five people. There's really? People in comedy that I know that have problems.
See, I know the people in comedy that are the younger guys that are doing it, and maybe they're hiding it from me, but I haven't heard.
They're not,
like,
by the way,
a problem.
As someone that is an addict and knows addicts, they're not upfront about it. They're not going to see you and go,
well, I know every.
Oh, I can't handle my gambling.
I know every gambler or smoker. We all lie about whatever. Like, or even to I lie to the doctor. Yes. Like, I don't even care. Like, yes. Do you drink socially?
Yeah.
But I'm super duper social. You can't believe I'm social.
God, when they listed it, I did it for real one time. I listed the amount of drinks I had.
You can't do that.
And the doctor was like,
dude,
it was a free clinic. It's when I used to go to Bellevue. I used to drink 60, because I knew around every night I would have 8 beers and 8 shots, because I was a shot and a beer guy.
Oh, yeah.
And so I knew I would do about 8 or 9 rounds. And one time I was just in a bad mood, hungover, and the doctor was like, how many drinks do you have in a week? And I was like, probably over like 115. And the guy was like, are you fucking serious? And I was like, I don't know. Are we rounding down or rounding up? And he was like,
I always was amazed at the Texas comics that a shot and a beer was their thing.
That's my thing.
Their thing. Like, I never even.
A Jameson and a cold Budweiser was absolutely
my God.
Thing.
Jameson on top. Wow. Like, just I was that, thinking like a lemon drop. Wow.
I wanted a room.
A vodka.
I wanted a room temp Jameson.
A whiskey. You want to feel it go down and burn
that
your
warm,
burn
that
your
warm,
chest
and then
apart.
I have a cold beer to chase it.
I see.
I would do, usually my hang was, I would do probably like 2 rounds of shots and a beer, go outside, smoke a cigarette. Best cigarette in the world.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And then I'd come back in and have another shot and a beer, like a reward for finishing the cigarette.
Well, go for you.
I loved it. I loved Mack Weldon, baby. It's the winner. Doesn't mean you can't wear a Mack Weldon. Sure, I love Mack Weldon for their summer looks, but guess what? They got their new Ace line inspired by their best selling. But now they got their Ace line inspired by their best selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long lasting and confident looks. So go upgrade your collection for the new year with new bomber jackets, half zip sweats, crew necks. You're gonna be looking more like yourself and more like a more refined version of yourself. So go to MackWeldon.com, get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with the promo code DAN. Go check out their stuff. And if you like it, go, hey, I'll take this, and I could use 20% off. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection, comfortable anywhere. Go to MackWeldon.com, get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code DAN. That's MackWeldon.com. Code Dan. Back to the show, baby.
If you love comedy that keeps you guessing, playoff hockey is right up your alley. NHL on TNT has the best coverage, and it is just as entertaining as a great stand-up set. Paul Bissonnette is hilarious on the panel, and Wayne Gretzky breaks down the action like a pro. Every game is intense, with overtime and big hits that make every shift matter. Studio coverage adds to the fun, making it the best place to watch. Watch the Stanley Cup playoffs on TNT, TBS, True TV, and HBO Max.
Nate Bargatze and I, you know, he doesn't drink anymore and I don't drink anymore, but me, him, and Joe List were like a drinking group when Nate lived in New York. And Nate would always say it. He'd go, if you cut out the shots, I think you could drink the rest of your life. And I went, I don't want to cut out the shots.
Well, yeah.
I love the
Something's
shots.
Something's got to give.
The shots are why I'm here.
What if you cut out the beer?
Tried it.
What about a non-alcoholic
beer?
Real
violent.
What about a non-alcoholic beer?
I drink NAs all the time. I just couldn't drink it with alcohol. Because I would have...
That's what I'm saying, though. You could have kept your shots.
Yeah, but NA beers, when I quit 13 years ago...
They were kind of gross.
Sucked.
I know, you had O'Doul's. My mom drank O'Doul's. I know, it was gross. I was just like, I want to see what it tastes like.
Heineken Zeros are awesome. Stella Zeros are awesome.
I think Mick Ultra makes one now, too, that's not bad.
Yeah, Athletic does a great non-athletic... Like, I can go to bars again. Because I can have non-alcoholics. Something there. And I feel like...
I don't think these kids know how to gamble right.
I think it's infected sports. I would go farther and say, I think you don't like sports if you gamble. I don't think you're a true sports fan.
Well, no, here's the difference. This is where I will defend that. Like, if it's a game I truly care about, sure. I do not bet on it.
Sure.
Because I don't, especially if I don't think my team's going to win. Yeah. I don't want to bet on the other team to win. And although it's kind of a cover your ass thing. But it makes me interested in games I would not normally give a shit about. So does fantasy football. I feel like that has single-handedly saved the NFL. Why the fuck would I sit around and watch, I don't know, pick the Raiders play, who's the second worst team? The Titans.
Because you love football.
No. No, they're horrible. There's no reason anyone would watch that game unless your child was playing. There would be no other goddamn reason. I know the guy who's the dad of one of the running backs on the Titans. He's like, yeah, I think I'm probably the only one still watching. Yeah. I said, well, I go down there a lot. You know, it's just fun. There's a moonshine tent, yeah, and then all my friends are down there.
I think what it's done is... I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right about games you don't give a shit. It's fun to put some skin on the game and care. I used to like that when I was sitting around with a friend and go, $20, I'll take. Like Keith Robinson and I used to do that. We wouldn't even use points. I'd just go down and we go, all right, I'm going to pick three teams. You pick three teams.
Pick the winners, right.
Let's pick the winners and let's bet. Cash. And then you got to come back down to the cellar and give me my money if I win. And vice versa.
And then you might care about one of those games that's a piece of shit game that you would not watch.
These kids now, though, they're on their phones nonstop. Everyone's on their phones. Fuck these kids. It's everybody. Everybody's on their phone nonstop. Yes. And it's all a trick to get us to feel dopamine. They don't care about us. They're trying to get us to stay on our phone as much as possible. So DraftKings isn't the same as the guy you knew in St. Louis running numbers. Because you'd have to go to him and go, I want the Cardinals, and I want the Brewers, and
then you have to go to your
Pirates.
Cousin for a loan.
Yeah.
I went through that.
Yeah.
It was really my cousin coming to me when I was bartending and going, Kathleen, you wouldn't happen to have like an extra $3,000.
Yeah.
I'm in college. I am bartending. I'm making $58 a night, Mike.
But
like,
no,
I don't. Oh, yeah, I do. I have $3,000 sitting around. No. What happened to you? But see, it happened to him back then. He got in way too deep betting on baseball.
And I think you get that times a million with these apps. Because these apps, you sign up, you link your bank account, and now you're in it. And now they do these things where they have all these commercials. Most comics I know are sponsored by a gambling app, do gambling app. And by the way, every comic that does a gambling app commercial, could you put a little fucking effort into it?
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
They're all pretty late.
I'm watching all my friends
do
these things where they're reading it like they're blind. This is every ad that I see comics do. Hey, what's up, guys? I know you're really excited for that upcoming tournament. Don't forget to get fun action all this week. You fucking pimp. You're just pimping your fans out.
I don't even think Jamie Foxx speaks.
No.
He just walks in a field of gold.
Kevin
like
Hart.
There's gold lighting, and he's gold. The ones that I've seen where I'm like, oh.
And Kevin Hart and LeBron are being...
Yeah,
charming. Fuck you.
And all buddy. Yeah. When you know.
Damn, I can't believe LeBron. What game did you bet on?
Kevin Hart, you see it and you go, you're a billionaire. It was a joke that I put on YouTube.
Why
where it's like, how much money is enough?
Maybe we could bet on that. I don't know. I don't understand why they would take the gig, except I think they might like it. Like, I love.
Then they should sponsor you.
I have a
you.
Speech for those people that's a good ad because I'm passionate about it.
This is.
Think about dopamine for the young people. I guess I get it. I don't feel like anything on my phone is addictive.
I'm just saying right now, You sound like the kind of person that goes, you should smoke in a hospital. It's a stress reliever.
I am gonna,
and then we're going to grow up and go, remember when you thought smoking in hospitals was okay?
I want to have a show after intervention called The Enabler, where I teach you how to gamble. Do you know how many people I've taught how to gamble?
Do you know how many people
I've taught how to play craps? And it is not fun for me to keep repeating this pattern of, here's how you play video poker. You should play double-double bonus poker. Here's what you should do. You want to go for four aces. Fuck the royal flush. It goes
Let me tell you right now, that is what I loved about gambling culture. When I learned how to play blackjack, when I learned how to play craps, when I learned what a parlay was, when I learned...
Watch out.
When I learned... I had a couple friends that went to went to UNLV, so they lived in Vegas. So by your sophomore year at UNLV, if you're a sports fan, you might as well run a sports book because you can just do... like
everybody,
I would go up to Vegas... and this is 2002, and I would go up there and they'd go, oh, we go to the off the strip sports book, better odds. And then you go into this giant room in a mini mall and it's all these guys in velour.
But it was better odds.
Way better. And affordable beers and affordable food.
$3 beers.
And you're sitting around watching and
somebody's got a hot dog.
And it is fun. But it was also the social aspect of having a beer and watching the game and then taking your ticket. That was my rule. That I only bet on sports if you can give me a ticket that I can walk to a game.
Well, that's where, okay.
So when I go to Vegas, I gamble like a motherfucker on sports.
You go to the window.
I go right to the window. To the cage. I know how to fill it out because I like having that shorthand. I have friends that worked at the horse tracks in high school.
Well, I was going to say,
that's gambling.
If you want to say, I'm the smoke in the hospital lady, who's still sitting in the horse racing book?
A lot of guys.
Borgata.
Yeah.
It's all old people.
Yeah.
I don't even think young people have a concept of horse racing.
And horse racing, if you like gambling, horse racing is...
Yeah, I used to go to the track every Friday with my dad.
It's like wine. It's like you can bet on stuff and think you know... You can drink wine with a nice Italian dinner and think you know red wine. But then when you get into wines...
Really good red
wine. That's horse racing.
Right.
Horse racing is like you're a sommelier of gambling. Because you go, I'm not only going to hit the trifecta, I'm going to go for all
of it. The daily double. But you also got to be able to read the racing form, like runs well in the mud. Like that's abbreviated.
Exactly.
So you need to know what all that means.
I respect that. I respect.
It's an education.
I respect people that learn their vices. Like if you have a vice and you've learned about it, I respect the fuck out of you. The reason
one old man came up to me at the track one time. He goes, "Honey, let me see your program." And I opened it. He goes, "Go to page 6," and it was a list of the jockeys. He goes, "Dave Gall, see that name, Dave Gall? He's gonna win 2 races every night of his goddamn life here. Put all your money on all the races. Just bet on Dave Gall." And I thought, is he right? Like, why would he come up like a saint? Like, it was like an angel.
He goes,
angel.
I'm Ron Gall. I'm Dave's brother. Guy needs some good PR. He's little.
And the dude was right. Yes, he was right. Like, but I'm bad at math.
Sure.
So I was like, well, wait, if I bet, you know, I didn't have any money. Like $20 a race, and that's times 10, that's $200. What if the races he doesn't pay? You know, you got to make sure you pick the one where he wasn't favorited. It's very complicated. This is where I will agree with you on DraftKings, though. This way, because you're talking about getting the ticket. So DraftKings, occasionally, it'll go, hey, Kathleen, looks like you made a shitty bet. You want to get out of it for $30? Like, let's say I bet $200, and it's clear I'm going to lose. Well, kind of clear to them.
Sure.
They offer me an out.
Yeah.
But I think that was to appease the Baptists and shit, because then you can
it's
tell.
It's always the Baptists.
Yes.
Kathleen Madigan hates the Baptists.
I love
she
the
goes
Baptist.
On here and she goes, let me tell you what, first stop, fuck John and everyone after it.
I love their food. Yeah. But they have wonderful Sunday food. But I think that was to say, oh, well, we'll let people get out of there.
Sure.
But I said, can you imagine walking up to a cage in Vegas? Let's say I bet on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And I put $500 on the Cowboys to win. And it's clear they're getting their asses kicked. And if I walked up to a cage in Vegas and go, man, I really fucked up on this one. Is there any way I can get like $80 back?
Oh, my God. The black lady with tropical nails behind the thing will go, miss, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but that is not how we do things here at the MGM.
It would just be a short, I ain't got the time. Yeah. Next.
Do you want me to color them or not? Are you here to color some chips or not?
But it is weird that the first time that ever came up on my phone, I was like, what? You're going to let me out of a bet with some of my money back? Not much. It's usually like a pittance. Like if you bet 100, they're going to give you 18. Well, 8.
But that's what,
that's trickery.
That's drug dealer
that's
behavior.
That's trickery. I agree. That's drug dealer behavior. That should be axed from the thing. I don't think
I think if you're going to gamble, it should be social. I don't think it should be on your phone where you can lock it away, where you can keep it secret. And I also think it's
But maybe poser- that's because you drank alone.
Yeah, I know. I drink alone a lot. I love drinking alone. I love drinking alone. But you're right. It's probably me projecting that. But I would say another theory of mine is that poser culture has taken over the United States. So people, if you used to want to get into something like comedy, you'd go hang out at the Funny Bone and you learn how to do open mics. And then you'd be around it.
And watch it.
And watch it. And then you learn how to do it. And then you fail. And then you become friends with people like Lewis Black and Ron White, who are, and you guys are all three of you guys legends in stand-up. Because you spent the years doing the road, I was in this gig and I did this gig.
And we lived together. That's why I have such good old friends. Yeah. Because we lived in these comedy condos. Randomly, you just get assigned to two more people every week.
On crunchy carpet.
And for whatever reason, like, I was always with Ron. Why?
Love it.
Always, or Foxworthy. One of those two. I'm like, Bill Engvall, that's where the beer in the shot, beer in the shot. Ron, beer in the shot. I'm like, is everyone in Texas this fucking drunk? Because I've seen you drink 16 beers, Ron. I've seen you. And you smoke weed outside.
Man.
And you're smoking cigarettes with me. And the weed. And he did quit drinking, though. I will give Ron.
He drinks Stella Zeros.
Yeah.
Whenever I go to the mothership, there's Stella Zeros. And I always make sure I don't drink too many because I know Ron, those are Ron's.
But then he came up to my house and he was there for like a week, and I said to my younger brother, he goes, how's Ron doing with the not drinking? I go, good, but this was right when he quit. So my mom went through rehab and all this stuff, so I do get the addiction thing. I go, but he's like quadrupled down on the weed, and now he's kind of boring. He just kind of stares off into space.
Yeah, but if you could ride those thoughts,
well, no,
you'd have no
I
idea.
Know. Well, he's having a wonderful time on my porch, but I'm sitting here waiting to go do something. Like, come on, let's take the boat out. Let's go fishing. Like, you want to go golfing? I said, would it be bad to tell a lifelong friend, could you just drink like 3 beers?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I would never.
There are friends of mine that still do that.
He leveled out, but I get it. You quit something. He needed to triple down for a hot minute.
You just need to, you know what you need to do? You're just moving out of something. So you got to put all your stuff on something else until it's gone and then you move it back.
Well, he went to the Costa Rican jungle and I go, do you think this is a good idea at 60 something to go to a jungle?
I like it.
Where there's no medical help anywhere around and you're a giant man who could have a heart attack. And I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying these are things. It worked though. He came back. I said, well, what did we learn on our hiawathista?
Ayahuasca? He did ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah. And he shit in a bucket and threw up a bunch. It sounds awful.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
Horrific.
Every time I've talked to somebody about it, they're like, you lay on the ground and puke and shit.
For like 3 days and cry.
For 3 days.
Yeah.
But then they basically tell you wring it all out of you.
Maybe.
So when you come back, you go.
Well, he had tried everything else. And I do get it. He's like, Maddie, I've been every other. I can't. I'm not going back and sitting at Betty Ford or whatever, whatever. But I said, what did you learn? He goes, here's what I learned. Did you know there's such thing as real holler monkeys? I go, yes, I watch the Nature Channel a lot. He goes, no, I mean, they're fucking loud. Even the other monkeys are like, shut the fuck up. And I said, that's all you remember from 2 weeks in a Costa Rican jungle?
If you're shitting and puking and there's monkeys screaming, you get annoyed.
Like, I always think you might be a little terrified.
Yeah.
Like they're that angry and loud.
They're going, stop puking and shitting. The monkeys are like, stop. That's what they're screaming about. But I think, like, to my point of poser culture taking over America.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
I mean that like you can just be a poser now. You can just go like, I'm a stand-up comedian and put clips of you doing stand-up, but you've never done it. You didn't go to an open mic. You didn't go learn the thing.
Well, where would your clip be from then?
Just you go into a comedy club and you go, hey, I got 500,000, you know, you could be a streamer.
Oh, you mean like go up on open mic night?
Yeah.
But you're not really trying to be a comedian.
Or what I've seen in clubs is these people that have huge social media followings that are like influencers, and then they go, well, I'm going to do stand-up because I can, because an agent goes, you know how much money you can make if you sell out Helium Thursday?
And then are they doing it?
Yeah, but they're horrible.
I haven't seen, like...
It's bad. It's real bad. But I mean...
Like everybody in Nashville that goes up on a new material Monday, because I went down a lot after COVID, I'm like, I need to remember how to do my act.
Sure.
I need to see shit again. Like because when I'm off, I'm off.
Yeah.
There's no comedy happening. I'm off. I'm fishing or golfing. And I was like, shit. But I felt like but I don't really know their process. I've never asked Dorf. Everybody that went up was trying.
Well, that's like, what the, well, open mic.
But it's not L.A. or New York either.
I think I'm being, I'm not talking about open mics. I'm talking specifically about people that jump into stand-up.
From like TikTok.
Yes.
Okay, and I know there's names. And they put them in big theaters.
Yes, that's
well, they're
what I
all
mean.
Getting demoted, though. I call them the one-lappers. You get one lap around the country.
Yeah.
I hope you saw every zoo you wanted to go to because you ain't going back on somebody else's dime.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pay to go back and go to that Omaha zoo that you fucking missed with the best gorilla exhibit in the United States.
That Omaha zoo's fucking
great. It's great.
But there is...
They all are dropping those. So it's not working. I know what you mean
but
now.
That's what I mean of it gets people into a thing that you used to have to learn or be interested in to get into. And that's what I mean about gambling. Gambling used to be, hey, my uncle runs numbers.
A culture.
Oh, do you want to learn? It was a culture. That's exactly what it is. It feels like the culture in the United States is all turned into something marketable and flimsy and it's like
not
a
just
cardboard
for the
cutout.
Sake of it.
It's not to do it anymore.
It's not.
You're gambling because you like to gamble because you grew up around people gambling. You kind of knew how it all worked. You kind of the intricacies of it. So you get a DraftKings tool and it's great because you go, look at this convenience of this thing I've done my whole life.
Right. I'd have to call somebody before and then, you know, I got to call Bob and then his booker Mike. And
my
then,
friend's dad was a
and then we
bookie.
Set a number. My grandpa's sister went to prison for this.
That's
for
what I mean.
And Nora was a bookie. She got caught.
My friend's dad was a bookie, and I was like, do you miss it? And he's like, no. He's like, no.
She loved it. She went back out of prison like, and did it again.
But what's funny is
she just kept doing it. She never stopped.
He said that, and then I walked away, and I go, hey, your dad says he doesn't miss being a bookie. And my friend went, he's still a bookie. And I went, oh, God damn it. And it's like, because that's how they kind of
But you know,
be.
We still need them. There are people who still like them. It's like the weed guy. Like when we became legal, none of my pothead friends go to those stores and shit. They still have their weed guy.
Yeah.
Ron's weed guy is probably 180 years old. I don't even know how, but Ron's had the same weed guy forever and ever and ever. He's like, nah, I wouldn't trust anybody but my weed guy.
Honestly, can I tell you the thing I want out of success is not a mansion or, I mean, that would be nice, but I want a weed guy. I want what Ron
you want
has.
The weed guy?
Because I have to go to the stores and stuff, but I want a guy that I know where he's growing it. I know what it is.
And he's proud of it.
And he's proud of it.
Yeah, very proud.
And there
proud
are
of
those
it.
Guys out there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I need to find.
I'm surprised in Colorado there weren't a bunch.
Oh, there were.
Before the stores opened.
Oh, my God. You go to Boulder. That was the thing. You go up to Boulder, Colorado, and you get like fantastic weed. You get like, because that's where all the hippies
are. That's what I like
were.
About weed people too, because they're always so generous and nice where they're like, Kathleen, you want some of my weed? I go, nah, I'm a waste of weed. I just fall asleep. And I
sure.
don't think I don't try at least once a year just to check. Because it'd be less calories. It'd be better than drinking. And they're like, nah, but you probably grew up on that Missouri dirt weed and you got to have my weed. I go, that's like telling a baby, you got to have my best whiskey. Don't do it. Just give the baby some well shit. They're just going to pass out.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going. Keep your good weed.
Yeah.
And I bet you whatever we smoked in high school was terrible, I'm sure.
I mean, I smoked. I remember,
I don't even know if I got high.
I remember getting
I think it was just grass.
I remember getting like thick
mulch.
Patties when I lived in Arizona, and you'd have to take the sticks and steeds
out of it and do it yourself.
And then like roll, turn it into actual
a pile of weed.
And then
weed.
You would put it, and then you would, and then that would begin the process of you putting it into something to smoke. But then it got so, you know, commercialized and everything like that with Colorado and everybody legalizing it now that now you go in and you go like, I don't even know if I fucking trust this shit.
So you want a culture to come back. You think I want smoking in hospitals. You want back rooms with like thuggy mafia people.
Yeah, you
that
fucked up.
Will hurt you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want the risk.
Okay.
I want the risk.
Okay.
Bring the risk back.
That's your dopamine.
Take the condom off.
Your
I want the risk.
You want the dopamine.
I want people to gamble knowing the risk of it. Instead of just going, I don't know, I just filled out a parlay on things and it hit. And it's also like, man, it makes everything suck. I watch ESPN and I'm like watching the NFL playoffs and I'm having a great time watching the playoffs. And then they're like, and don't forget, these are our three prop bets of the week. And you go, you shouldn't even be saying prop bets.
Well, I'm surprised they can't. Yeah, I am always shocked when they go into the gambling part because I was like, oh, I thought we were keeping all that.
No.
Separate. Well, we're not. I know.
That's my whole problem is like fantasy football was the blowjob to get you to gambling. It just took a long time.
I love
time.
That, too.
But fantasy football
three
went
leagues.
Like... Because do you remember DraftKings was originally fantasy football?
Yes.
And they went out loud. And you can find it several times. Went, we're not gambling. This is just fantasy football.
It's just for fun.
And then they went, gambling's legal. And they went, yeah, we're gambling. Like, they just immediately were like, we're just setting you up. We're setting you motherfuckers up to be gambling. And it is like, listen, I don't fault all my friends who do the shit because it is money that helps you with the stuff. Some people I go, I don't think you need money. You know what I mean? But I understand people that do use the sponsorship. I just think we're headed towards calamity.
What's next? What define calamity? What do you see happening? Like
kids going, kids
20 something
years old having no credit, blowing their credit. We'll never be able to buy a house. We'll never be able to buy a car.
Oh.
We'll never be able to fucking buy anything.
Oh.
Because when they were 23, when I was 18 years old, I went to a NHL playoff hockey game.
Okay.
The Coyotes, who are now the Utah Hockey Club. And I went
Mammoths.
Up, what's that?
They're the Mammoths.
Oh, are they? Oh, they changed it to the Mammoths.
Yeah. I like it.
Arizona got ripped off. They were a good fan base.
Yeah, they the really
Phoenix,
were.
Phoenix was a good NHL
they
fan
did,
base.
They did.
And they got fucked over on
that. Yep, that stadium was too far away, though.
Yeah, it was.
Or the rink.
Whatever. It was. But I went and 18, drinking beers, hockey, having a great time, walked by one of those credit card booths.
You did not. You signed up.
Signed up, got a credit card, went on eBay, went online. This is when, like, this is 2002. Online shopping was, like, pretty new.
Forget
maxed it. Out the credit card, had no money. Got chased by that debt for, like, seven years.
It's also fucked up they put them on college campuses. So once my brother...
But this is way worse version.
I get it. My brother is a financial advisor person, and at one point I was trying to buy a house, and I said, I don't know, Pat, there's something wrong with my credit, whatever, blah, blah. Like, I don't pay attention. I said that he goes, man, you got to quit doing shots at this bar, Banana Republic. I go, it's a store, Pat. It's not a fucking bar.
That's
I
so
go,
funny
I'm not putting alcohol on. He goes, what? How many bras did you buy that you got the credit card? I said, I took it anywhere they offered it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, it's $28 off. If you, fuck, why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't?
And he's like, you got to get rid of like half of the, like, but my parents should have taught us that. They did not.
But they never, here's the deal is we put too much on the parents to teach you not to do that when there's people outside of your house that are waiting for you to fuck up.
Well, I don't think my parents knew that they were at,
my mom didn't even know I had a credit card. And then, you know, I was paying for everything. I paid for my own college.
I paid
for everything.
I did too.
And then I called my mom and I'm like, I maxed out. It was $1,100. That was how much I maxed out the credit card for. $1,100.
And that was probably the end of the world.
And my mom went, what the fuck? How did you get a credit card? And I was like, I was drunk at a Phoenix Coyotes game.
And you only tickets. I think you only have to be 18.
I was 18.
Right?
You had to be 18 years old to sign up.
Is that
up.
Why they're on campuses?
Yeah. You should be 18 and you sign up. So I signed up, got fucked. And I just remember talking to the guy at the agency that was coming for the money. And he was like, listen, man.
Well, there's your dopamine. You want a guy that's going to come hurt you.
And he did.
You got it. You
and
got
he
it.
Was like, you're fucked. He's like, you're fucked until you pay this off.
And you're going to be fucked after that because they know about it for like 5 more years.
And Bobby Kelly was the first person to help me get my credit back when I started headlining. Bobby Kelly was like, all right, dude, my fucking credit was fucked. Here's what you do. Get an American Express card because you have to pay it off monthly.
Right.
And he's like, and have it linked to Delta Sky Miles and take as many Delta flights as you can. It's best advice I ever got fiscally in comedy. I got my credit out of the shitter and I got status. I got a bunch of fucking.
So you think they're dragging things the parents don't even know, the 18-year-old signing up?
No idea.
Or is it 21?
I know. It might be 21. You can be 18. I don't know. I want to look that up before I say anything publicly, but I would say,
I would think it'd be 21, right?
But it's similar, dude. It's very similar to like.
And their parents don't know.
No.
Well, where
I know
they,
people whose significant others don't know that they have.
Well, I know more of that. I know a lot of dudes on the road that are like, hey, when shows up, don't mention the parlays. And I'm like, all right, I got it. But
and I'm always here
versus young people. But, well, these guys are fairly young too. But I mean, the married people, I know there's a lot of hiding and a lot of bullshit going on. But single guys, comics on the road, I don't know. I just don't see any despair.
Listen, if you got $500, this is how I feel about casinos too. If you got $500 to go blow at a casino, go blow $500. I don't give a shit. when you're taking your something that's reserved for something else because you go, I can win that back. I can win that. Oh, they're going to give me $30 if the fucking bet went wrong. It's just built for these guys to get sucked in
and then
have no way out. But it's not. It was my favorite line from Dirty Work when Chevy chases the doctor. The Norm Macdonald movie, Dirty Work. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I don't remember.
It's great. It's him and Artie Lang, and they do a revenge business. But Chevy Chase is a doctor, and he's a gambling addict, and he keeps bringing up things he gambles on. And he goes, I don't know, you know, the Bills, something, something, Rocky in the second fight of Rocky III. And Norm Macdonald goes, you bet against Rocky in a Rocky movie? He goes, hindsight's 20/20, my friends. But he has this line that always makes me laugh, where he goes, you know the crazy thing about these bookies? You lose the money, you pay them back, they still break your legs. And it's like, but that's, a broken leg will heal, but your credit might not ever heal.
It could be a 7-year journey of undoing all that.
And it's just because you watched Kevin Hart throw a touchdown pass to LeBron on a soundstage going, bam, sign up today, get $300 for free.
Sounds just like
him. And then you're like, and then you're fucked. And then you're just fucked. And you can't go to Kevin Hart and go, hey, let me get that $7K I lost because, you know.
I don't even think they're thinking about that. I had never thought about it, honestly, till the Dave Ramsey tweet came out where he was like, we're poisoning it. But here's the other thing, Dave Ramsey.
He's a piece of
shit. Mr. COVID, everybody has to come to work, old people included. Yeah. I don't care if you die.
Ramsey sucks.
You are the party of personal responsibility. So you can't be saying this because you're the one that says, well, okay, Dave.
And
how about alcohol? Yeah. How about weed now? I mean, which is the worst? Is it gambling? Is it alcohol? Is it, we could go on and on and on. Yeah. You can't just pick my favorite and say it's got to be knocked off the list. Fucking take weed off. I don't give a shit. Take oxy. I don't care about pills. Take those off the list.
Fuck them. Why not? I mean, I can take pills fine. I was addicted to Percs when I was 14, but...
My mom has a closet full of Darvocet. They don't even make that anymore, but those pills still work.
Hey,
and if I
right
need
now,
one, I could go in there and eat 1,000 today.
There was one time I was at my grandma's and I found a thing of something called something sand. And I looked and I was like, sedative. And it was when I was trying to quit drinking. I took one of my grandma's pills and I was like, ew, what is this? And she was like, that. Do you know where my medication was for after I had kidney surgery? And it was like to calm her down. And I was like, oh, shit. I took one of them bad boys and melted into the couch. But then I learned my lesson. Because I go, you don't go digging around Nana's medicine cabinet
anymore. No, don't take anything that ends with Pam.
Pam.
My one friend, Beth, took every pill ever. And she's like, telling you what, Madigan, if you can get it, take anything with the ends in Pam. I'm like, because you are a drug addict.
Yeah, lazepam.
They're all... just melt into the couch.
It's crazy.
If it ends in Pam, you're going to be sleepy.
Well, you take, I remember because I was still smoking cigarettes. It was like, there was 4 months that I quit drinking and I still smoked cigarettes. And I was at my grandma's house in the Bay Area, her townhouse. And that's when I did it. And I remember it was like college basketball or something was on. And I went and I went like, watching this like Louisville game. And I was like, I got to smoke a cigarette. And I smoked a cigarette and I came back in and I was like, I feel like $1 trillion. And then the next thing I know, I slept on the couch for like 8 hours.
It's the opposite of cocaine.
It was wild. It was, but honestly, when I was outside smoking, because I remember in her little courtyard in her townhouse, just feeling like fantastic. Being like,
all loosey-goosey.
I remember doing that thing of going like, I might take the whole bottle with me. Like, this is what's up. And then I fucking went back in the past. But my thing is just... I don't want to poison my young brothers.
What about porn on the phone? I mean,
yeah, I can handle my porn on my phone. I'm not addicted to it.
Where are we drawing a line here? I think we are
because I think if you look at, just open your eyes to it, start seeing how in everything.
I'm going to look at every opening act's phone when they go on stage,
also,
and I'm looking at their DraftKings account.
By the way,
see how in debt
they're doing a different thing now.
They're doing
a thing called Cash. Have you seen that?
No.
There's new stuff where you can gamble on during the Golden Globes. They were doing a thing where they're like, if you think you know the winner, sign up for this gambling app and fucking bet on the winner of the best actress in a comedic series. That's straight up gambling addict behavior. That's like when the guy's like, I'm going to Gamblers Anonymous and they said I can't gamble. You want to gamble on if I'll keep going? Right. It's like that level. We're getting to like, oh, come on, one more.
But why do you think it's actually poison sports? Like, why does that affect how someone's playing? Do you believe it's fixed for all this
yes.
shit? Oh my gosh, you guys believe all that? Here's my thing with
I believe you are going to find out in years, because also it's already been proven that the NBA had refs gambling on it.
Okay, but
with that whole Patrick Donegan or Donovan guy.
Yes, you're right. But really, I mean, look at the money they were accepting. It was
I have a friend that
pittance of change.
All right, I'll put it like this. I have a friend that is an NFL coach. Okay. He just got fired from the Miami Dolphins. He was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
I know. I know who that is. Mike. Yeah.
Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I don't.
I grew up with him. Since seventh grade, I've known him. He's been a coach in the NFL for 20 years. I watched him as a coach level up in ranks or whatever. There is an immediate difference from when gambling apps hit. He gets death threats. His family gets death threats. People around him get death threats. And the NFL wants to keep this on the fucking low. These players and coaches are receiving death threats because people's...
But the Phillies back in the 80s or 90s, that pitcher had to leave town. The guy who lost the World Series game. He had to move. Yeah. Why is that any different than what we're saying now?
Because it's every player now. It's every player.
Oh, I guess.
It's not Bill Buckman.
Because of fantasy fantasy. I get it. Okay.
It's all because it's everywhere now. It's not Steve Bartman going over in the Cubs and knocking it over, and he's got to leave town because Cubs fans are like, fuck you, you ruined our chance for a World Series. It's Raiders, Titans. No one gives a shit. Right. Now Cam Ward's family's
and
getting
Derrick
threatened.
Derrick Henry didn't get me in the back then.
So, so we're going to
threaten. I can see that.
Oh, I found his
but
wife on
But I do think
Insta-
with the
Instagram.
Fixing, if we're talking about scores, this is what I was saying to my other brother, who's like a moron. I'm like, look, there's only two outcomes.
Yeah.
Okay?
That is true.
Either they go over 3 points or they fucking don't. It's your job to figure out how you think they fixed it. If you think it's fixed, we still have a 50-50 chance of winning the bet. It's just which side.
I will tell you right now, I feel like the scientist that no one listens to in the beginning of the movie. I feel like the scientist with the crazy glasses and the weird hair that goes... That volcano's going to erupt.
And everyone goes,
shut up, old man. This is the best beach resort in all of the world.
You're coming into the party at 10 o'clock when I'm 17 and you're calling the cops. We all got to run and leave the yard and hop a goddamn fence.
Yeah.
You're the man.
Yeah.
I'm saying, get another keg. I need 20 solo cups. We're going before my parents get home at midnight. Drink fast.
And then if you listen to me and you don't go down with these and you actually can... Hopefully, buy a house if the housing market.
How are we going to find out? Is there going to be like Gamblers Anonymous overpack?
There's going to be a lot of suicide. There's going to be a lot of heroin use. There's going to be a lot of crime. There's going to be a lot of.
Do you think this will come
down
to like a player actually getting hurt or a coach actually getting hurt?
Yes, I think someone will get hurt. I think a player will get hurt because of someone's gambling debt. I don't want to promise that because that's a horrible fucking thing to promise.
Right.
But I think that will happen.
Encourage those things.
I've heard rumors that people are joining ICE because of gambling debt.
What?
Because they're getting a $50,000 bonus.
Oh, you do get
and
the
it
bonus.
Pays off their gambling debt immediately.
Is it true that ICE is only down to 47 days of training?
I don't know. That's some shit where you can't even believe the news anymore. But I think...
All I know is bartending school is 6 weeks.
Dude.
Just saying.
Outback, you had to do five follow shifts, and that took at least 6 weeks. What are you talking about? You want to train
Stuart
at Applebee's?
Anderson's Cattle Company. I had to be a trainee.
At Red Robin, I had to learn what it was in the seasoning for at least. I don't know, man. I just feel like...
I see what you're saying, and I'm
empathetic to these people because I don't... As someone that grew up without a dad, that was misled a lot.
Maybe you have to be over 40. Would that... make you feel
I
better?
Would love that.
If they
over
said,
40 would be
because
great.
You're saying anybody my age knows the old culture. Your age, you know the old culture.
Yeah.
So we're already all in at the racetrack.
It's
just an extra fun thing I have at the track.
Yeah, that's it. It's just an extra
and
fun thing.
And it cracks me up in Vegas. I can't use DraftKings in the MGM Sportsbook, but I can't use their app either.
Yeah, it's funny because they go, no, motherfucker.
You want me to fucking get up from this comfortable couch and walk way over there.
I'm giving the same company the money. It's the same company.
He wants to do it.
Yeah.
Dan will do it. I'm staying right here. I got a cold beer. Somebody's going to take this seat. You know they are.
Yeah, they are. Listen.
And sometimes you have to pay for those couches.
I know I'm an un. I know this sounds unfun, and I know this makes me sound like a fucking nerd. I'm just saying we need to watch out because shit's about.
And you
about,
personally know people.
Yeah. I can't say it on my podcast. Yeah.
Really?
It's not a thing where it's going like, eh, no one got damaged.
It's all very secretive then.
Yeah.
Like, maybe my nephews in their 20s are doing,
I bet.
I know they have it.
I bet if you kick around, bet if you kick the tires around a little bit, you'll find out it's a lot more around than you thought it was.
All right. I'm going to start interviewing every comic.
Well, just go like, if you see they gamble, go, how often do you win? How often do you lose?
All gamblers lie, but, well, sure. I don't lie. I'm like, no. If
about
I hit
gambling?
A royal flush, I'm like, yeah, it's $4,000. It took me $8,700 to see that.
Yeah.
This is how you know a real gambler. Like, I hit a royal flush once, and I went, finally. That's not the appropriate action to winning $4,000.
No,
that's not the emotion you're looking for. You're supposed to be going, fuck yeah.
I got $4,000.
I'm like, halfway back. It's going to be a long night sitting here in Harrah's.
I think younger me is pretty bummed out that I have that opinion, you know, because I always wanted to be fun and like fuck around and fuck yeah, gamble and shit. It just feels very nefarious how they're doing it.
Well,
it
I think the other way seems...
Nah, the other way's got character.
You're walking into a back... fine line between character and nefarious. When you're walking in and your legs may be broken by some guy...
I'll tell you the nefarious. I think the mob is better than corporate America. Nefarious, to me, is corporate America with a smile on their
all
face.
Right, because
going
least,
like this, I understand there were, but there were terms and conditions,
right.
And you signed the terms and conditions, and you have to understand something, we're going to butt-fuck you in court. Versus a guy going, buddy... You don't got the money. I got to break your fucking legs. That's not nefarious to me.
Well, I feel like the mob is doing super nefarious things also with me. Like we're all in it together.
Yeah.
And I do not feel like the corporations, aside from fucking us, I don't think they're doing anything nefarious on the, and their human resource department will
defend it
all.
They do that like clean
thing.
The mob
doesn't have human resources.
Yeah, because they go like, oh. I understand that I heard your app wasn't working. How can I help that? Fuck you. You don't want to help me. You want to take more of my money.
They want another deposit.
That's like the mob going, you're a good guy. Yeah, you try hard. When they pat you on the head, that's the corporate going like, I'm sorry,
well,
sir.
Well, and
what
sometimes
was that?
The mob will give you one more chance. There's always the chance they might give you one more
Italians
chance.
Italians are Catholics.
Yeah,
at least they're not Baptists.
Come on, let's pray to St. Gabriel or whoever's in charge of gambling. Who's in charge of gambling? Let's pray and go, look, just give me one more baseball game. One more baseball game. I'm so confident.
I do like, though, that you've pushed back and you've made very good points that, like, I could
personal responsibility.
I could be Chicken Little right now.
You could DoorDash six packs to your house. Is that bad?
No. Hey, you're right. It is. You could take anything and make it bad. I just think we're headed for trouble.
Some of us.
Fuck Dave Ramsey.
Some of us build really good parlays. We put football with golf. That's the key. Listen to me. Listen to Aunt Kat.
You're going
to
retire from stand-up and have one of those green visors on and go, have you seen Kathleen Madigan's new fucking gambling show? It's taken over.
I was obsessed as like a 21-year-old. I wanted to be a pit boss. I was so obsessed with craps.
Yeah.
Well, really, I wanted to be a jockey because like, people will go,
tiny.
I know. I look super good in green satin. I mean, watch out.
Yeah.
Red hair? Come on. I already have my outfit picked out. I'm like, I'm going to be that check, the diamond print pattern. It's going to be green and white. And
you already know what
Fairmont
you're going to be
track
wearing.
In Illinois, because people are like, oh, with comedy, do you feel like, you know, your dreams came true? I'm like, this was not my dream.
Yeah.
There might be some funny lady riding a horse somewhere right now, because I thought I was going to be a jockey. And then I thought I was going to be a pit boss, but I can't do math.
Yeah.
Those guys are like, fucking human
it's
computers.
Crazy.
And then I wonder, like, my one nephew's autistic and he's super duper good at math. Not everybody is. I'm not putting everybody in that group. But I wonder how many of them were autistic. And that was just easy for them.
That's what.
How do you look at that hole on a Saturday night when there are, every number's got money all over it and they know every fucking chip? I'm like,
because they're not posers. Because they're in the culture. They know how to do it. They came up. They were dealers. They were, you know what
Stan
I mean?
Stan and
were
all I would this? Just have loved it. If I could do math quickly and accurately. I mean, I can't do it at all.
You'd
but
be
if I could just do any of it.
I'd prefer if you were my pit boss. If you
it'd
come
be
over
more
and you go,
fun.
You go like this. I don't know.
You look. Should go on.
You're
not cut
easier?
Out for craps.
Go on your phone.
Yeah.
It's
you can play
easier.
Craps on your phone now.
And we'll give you 30
but
bucks
see,
back.
I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's, I won't say his name, but there's a comic, and he literally plays video poker on his phone. I don't even know, but is that real money?
Yeah. You got to put money on there.
You know, there was an interim, too. This will make you laugh. I remember my younger brother loves gambling, too. And he's like, dude, I got this website in Bermuda.
That's what it is. The Bermuda website, by the way, was the beginning of it.
Yes. I said, Patrick, I don't feel like we're going to get our money back.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to send $500 to some fucking dude in Bermuda. And that if I win the Raider game, we really think he's going to send me $800 back.
My friend.
But I ended up losing, so I never found out.
My friend,
like,
that's funny.
I don't
funny.
Know. If, did,
well, your
did,
money's did, in the Bermuda, I hope.
Somewhere.
It's somewhere in Bermuda.
Some dude down there is very happy Kathleen Madigan was that dumb.
Kathleen Madigan is one of the best stand-up comics of all time. Her Amazon special, A Family Thread, is streaming now. Go watch it. You've always been so fucking funny.
Well,
and
you.
As a comic that loves this shit, it was an honor to have you on.
Thank you, and I'll be watching and betting on the game tonight.
You will.
Houston.
You got Houston? In Pittsburgh with the weather? Nah. Steelers. Steelers take the points. It's Steelers plus 3.5, but you're giving it to the home.
You got to wait on that, though. Don't bet yet. Wait till it's closer to the time.
Let's
drop.
Let's do an old school bet. I'll just bet you offline.
All right. I'll bet you offline, and I'll mail it to you. I'll put it in paper like my grandma would do. I'll wrap in a lot of loose leaf paper so you'll have to unravel it.
So they don't steal it.
Yeah.
So the mailman doesn't steal
right.
it.
Right, exactly. They'll look through in the sunlight.
Exactly.
And they'll see my communion money. You fucking thieves.
You're the absolute best. Thanks so much for coming on.
$20.
Yeah. All right, $20.
I have Houston, you have Pittsburgh. No points.
No points. Just money line.
Just pick 'em pool.
Let's go.